So we're going to do the second part. I know last week I sort of jumped ahead by one lesson there, but I didn't realize, I didn't look at the fact there were two for, Miriam, wasn't it? Yeah, Miriam. But I will do the second part of Rahab, though we covered a lot of it last week. I do want to focus on one specific aspect of her life. Her life is remarkable. In some ways, you can, you look at Miriam's background, or you look at Jochebed's background, you look at some of theirs. Of course, Sarah, she came out of a pagan past. But it really is remarkable when you look at the life of Rahab the harlot. And it should be an encouragement to every believer about what God can do. So let's look at Hebrews 11 again, to see right there in this wonderful presentation of the examples of faith, how she is noted. Now think of all of the ones that are in the Word of God that are great men and women that aren't listed in Hebrews 11. I mentioned that last week, and very important for us to realize that God strategically inspired the writer of Hebrews to place these different ones. Abraham, of course, is absolutely essential for our understanding. Moses is very essential for our understanding. But Rahab, the harlot, But God gives us very important insights into how he works and what faith does accomplish. So our focus this morning is going to be on the importance of faith. Now, we do so often just look at the human factors, don't we? We look at our lives, what we can do, and all of that. We know that that's the satanic trip-up that is accomplished by Satan in the matter of people looking to themselves for salvation. And we as believers have a tendency to look at our strong points, our weak points. We look at what we've done. Frankly, folks, none of that means anything. And at times you have to realize that everything about us, as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, let me balance that out by saying, when you walk by faith, it does matter how you live, because faith is going to give you the grace for victory, and your life will change. And there is a great blessing, there's great productivity, there's great generational impact when we do live right. But all of that is a miracle. None of it is our intrinsic ability. And so, Satan loves to get us depending upon ourselves or getting so feeling like a failure, and we can't measure up to others. We didn't have their past. We didn't have their training. We failed so many times. And he can trip us up by thinking, well, what's the use? I just can't accomplish what I need to accomplish. So both sides of that equation are just, frankly, I hate to say it, but they're a focus on self. It's about us. And the focus, whenever you find yourself getting discouraged or you find yourself just not having the power of God, look to the Lord Jesus and get your eyes back on him and the Word of God, and that will make all the difference. Now, before I read the verse here, I have quote this probably every other week. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is faith in what the Word of God clearly teaches. And so this is a strategic verse. This is not some light matter here when we have in verse 31, by faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not. Notice the contrast. When she had received the spies with peace. Remember, the whole thrust of Hebrews 11 is faith. Rahab is one of the examples of faith. And we're going to see how her faith made a huge difference. I mean, totally changed her life, the trajectory of her life, and the future of her life. And I want to try to emphasize this because we hear messages on faith quite often. But we sometimes do not understand everything rises and falls on do we believe God or not? Do we believe God's word or not? No growth in your life will occur without faith. Nothing good will happen without faith. The impact of our life, as we would like to see it, happen in our lives, will not occur without faith. So is it a big deal if we go through life in a day just making decisions normally and not walking with God? You know, Christians, I don't know how many times in my office they'll say, I don't know how I got here to where I did what I did. Well, you walked here. In other words, you took steps of unbelief or non-belief. You didn't take steps of faith, and whenever you depend upon yourself, that's flesh. And what happens in the Galatians 6? What's the fruit of the flesh? Corruption. Okay, and I don't think we often understand the terrible ramifications of living hours, days without consciously, fully depending on the Lord and having that relationship with Him. Every problem we have that is a fleshly sin problem comes from steps that were not faith steps. Hebrews chapter 3, they entered not into the land of blessing and victory. Why? Because of unbelief. You see, it isn't that God has maybe missed you on giving you ability to really do great things for God and He's gifted others, you know, and a lot of people just feel insignificant. Peter, James, and John chose to be with the Lord by faith. You want to get on the inner circle? You want your life to count? You want to have eternal consequences come that are eternally a blessing? Well, then you have to walk by faith. I'm emphasizing this in the introduction here because I want you to realize this is not just a nice little thought. Everything rises and falls on whether or not you are going to take the steps of your life, walk, as it's used over and over in the New Testament, each step by faith. According to what God says. So, as mentioned in the book, our lives are a chain of decisions. Remember Joshua in Joshua 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes we do not quote the first part of that verse. Let me get that exactly right here. Joshua 24, verse 15, he speaks earlier of in that verse, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. In other words, it's a choice. And then he says, but as for me and my house, he chooses, that's inferred there, to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. So faith is a decision of the will to depend upon God's word, which means you have chosen to do what? Obey God's word. We are not to be a hearer of the word only, but what? We're learning that in James 1, but a doer of the word. Now sometimes we shy away from obedience and doing because we don't want to depend upon the flesh and we know we have to trust the Lord first, but remember, any step of faith results immediately in obedience. Just give an example. I believe that it is my privilege and my responsibility to tithe. Okay, I believe that firmly. I can believe it. And I can say I depend upon that. But what do I need to do next Sunday? I got to obey, or else am I believing? Absolutely not. And there's such joy every time I do it because I'm depending upon God, but it resulted in action. And so with Rahab, her faith in what had occurred in the past years to Israel, that God was indeed, Jehovah God was the God. We looked at Joshua last time there where she talks about the fact that she had heard about the crossing of the Red Sea and the plagues and all those things, and she knew that the God of heaven was Jehovah God. And basically says everyone here sees that. But in the verse here, Hebrews 11, verse 31, there's a contrast. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So you have the contrast between the other people in Jericho and herself. Now she intimates there in Joshua that they all knew that the God of Israel was powerful. She was the one that did something about it. She was the one that identified and trusted in the God of heaven, and therefore action took place. And so she made a choice to believe. Abraham is the father of faith. He believed God when he promised that God would make him a great nation. And he even believed God when God said, sacrifice Isaac. And the Lord made it clear, I know. He was willing to put his life on the line. Now, what I want to just challenge you with here this morning, how much is your life really based on faith? We know what we believe. That's why you're here. That's why you're at a church like this. You know what we teach. You know what you believe. You want the Word of God. But how much do we truly take steps of faith? Now, here's a point I want you to get. Faith contradicts normal thinking. Okay? Faith contradicts your natural way that you think from a normal human standpoint. That's the flesh. You have that common reaction that is there. Faith goes against that, and so when we choose to believe God, we're not going on the basis of what we would normally do. We're stepping out of the box. It is so important to realize that we do not naturally believe. And here's one of the things that happens. I'm just trying to be practical today. I'm not going into all the background again about Rahab. If you weren't here last week, I apologize, but many of you know the story. We have, as you grow, you develop character. Your life begins, you don't do what you used to do. Most of you could give a testimony right now and say, wow, my life's different from 25 years ago or whatever. And you think of the steps that you've taken, and so you've had steps of faith in the past. But here's the problem. We start depending upon the past. We start depending upon our good character, which is vitally important. Aren't you thankful for habits that are good? Aren't you thankful for God just putting that in you? You know, where you don't think about having devotions, you just have them, you know, for instance, and you do certain things in your life, and God has incorporated that into your life. But because you're doing pretty well, you can get trapped into just where you are, stuck where you are, feeling pretty good about your spiritual disciplines, and you're actually not spirit-filled and not taking new steps of faith. You've heard it said many times, you should be much farther ahead today than you were a year ago. You should not look back at the high points of your life today. Now, there may be some tremendous breakthroughs and answers to prayer in the past and glorious working of God, but I'm talking about in your spiritual life, you ought to say, I'm so glad I'm where I'm at now. I don't look back wistfully of where I was 2 years ago, okay? Thankful for the big high points, but praise the Lord, I'm moving forward. So I just want to say that the steps of faith are so important. And you know where it shows up? If you're really walking by faith, when you hit the hard times. That's where it shows up. That's where it gets revealed. You see, doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. You know, I'm telling you, so many times I'll face things in ministry and see the obstacle and what needs to be done, but it seems impossible. But once you are convinced that God wants you to take a step forward, and I've had this on a number of occasions, it's a big stepping out of the box. It's a risk, but it's what God wants you to do. You trust the Lord based upon what He's shown you. And honestly, in your ministry, in your personal life, in your relationships, it is never comfortable. The minute you get comfortable, then we're in trouble. Why don't people witness? It's not comfortable. Why don't we pray like we ought to? It's not comfortable. You start wrestling with the Lord about people, and especially maybe situations that are hard, that's not comfortable. God touches your heart to give sacrificially for something. That's not comfortable or whatever, but that's where the growth comes. Or when the trial hits, to respond properly. So you want to be walking by faith in the regular days. So when you have the big decision to make, or you have the big trial to overcome, you're thinking faith. You're not thinking humanly. Now, what I'm saying is really a very simple but very important factor. People make wrong moves on a certain day because they have been making just living life from human dependence in the days prior. Then a big decision comes and you can't see that God can deliver. You don't see that God can do it. You don't have the belief that God can use you. Now, I'm going to be challenging, as I already have been. You've heard the messages. But I'm going to ask every person at Falls Baptist Church to step out of the box here coming in June. God wants us all to take a step forward, don't you think? It's exciting. I mean, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. And I've been dealing with the men at the men's prayer meetings the last couple of times, how men get stuck. You know, their 40s should be better than their 30s. And they need to be preparing in their 40s for a great decade of the 50s. And then the 60s is by far, all research says, are the highlight years of a person's life, the climax. The second most productive years are the 70s. And so you've got to be, isn't that wonderful, folks? Okay, but it's true. And the 80s are just the best. I mean, but think about it. What's our mentality in America? Retire early 60s, and I'm not saying anything wrong with retirement, but sort of coast once you hit the 60s. Man, you ought to be in full gear in 60s, 70s, 80s. Think of how much more you know now in whatever age bracket you are than what you knew before. It's exciting. Listen, for the believer, getting older, yeah, it's a trial. You know, that's just the way it goes. It keeps us humble. But it's a great opportunity. You build upon all that God has done. But if you're not walking by faith in your 30s, 40s, 50s, you've really got to get a hold of your mind and say, you know, I have gotten in the habit of just living life. And I got to get on the adventure of knowing God's will, walking with God, praying, and whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do it and believe God. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. And it's true. I remember when my son Wayne had his first round of problems. I don't talk about it often. At 2.5, he had the brain tumor, but at age 1, he had a blood disease, and we nearly lost him. We were just hours away from losing him, had a great crisis. And I think, frankly, that was probably what caused the brain tumor 1.5 years later. I don't can't prove that, but it makes sense. But I remember hearing the song, Joy Comes in the Morning, you know. And you know how it is that sometimes in the middle of the night, if you wake up, there can be an oppression with the darkness. And nothing changes, but when you wake up in the morning, what you were so overwhelmed by at 2 a.m., it's not quite such a big deal at whatever time in the morning. And that spiritually is true, too. Satan is he operates in the realm of darkness, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so when you're walking by faith, when the darkness comes, you realize there's always light. There's nothing that can happen to you that God will not work to good if you will trust him. You've got to believe that. And sometimes you wonder, how is the Lord going to get me out of and through this? But he always does. And I'm telling you, and I've seen Satan attack, bad things happen, and the Lord wasn't behind that at all. And yet, if we walk with God in the long run, you know, it still is better than it was before, because God will not be mocked. He will, and he will not allow Satan to overcome, because he is a defeated foe. Doubt dreads to take a step. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high, on wings of eagles. Now, it's not easy to take the step of faith, but you don't live with dread of it. In other words, oh boy, here we go again. Whenever I got to announce to the church we're going to believe God for this, you know, there's always, because it's going to take God's deliverance, but there's an anticipation that God is going to do what he said. And so faith causes you to experience the grace of God. And here's another one. Doubt questions who believes. Faith answers, I will believe. I am the one that will do it. So your life, my life, is a series of choices. And honestly, each day there is a decent way to live and a faith way to live. We can be walking with God. Like, for instance, let's just be real practical. Do you think God wants all of us to memorize Scripture? Now, let's face it. The older group, Pastor Van was telling me, he's heard lots of excuses. Okay, you say, well, it's harder. Is it harder to memorize when you get older? Yeah, it is. Okay, absolutely. By the way, it can get easier. Keep your mind active. Read, force yourself. Did you know that they say that people in their 80s and 90s can break through barriers and learn just as well as younger people? It's a proven fact. We put our own barriers in learning, and we need to determine we're going to break through that. But let's say the Spirit of God works in your heart. You take the step of faith. You have a good time with the Lord in your devotions. And God touches your heart about the fact, I want you to meditate on, and I want you to be listening over and over to James chapter 1 today. And I want you to memorize a couple of verses. You say, well, that's not easy for me. Well, you can turn on James, you know, you can get an app and turn on James and keep listening to it. And you can have a card or two that you take around with you and just be thinking about it, meditate. Do you think meditating on the word will be a blessing to you? Oh, yeah. You know, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into to diverse temptations. Count it all joy. That's a good thing to have in your mind. And right on down the line you can go. And so that's just faith choices. You say, well, I'm going to have a difficult time with it. Well, that's what faith is about. Faith is God enabling you to do what you can't do. That's the grace of God that comes because of faith. And all of a sudden, you're quickened. You know, I can do that. Sure, somebody may memorize the whole book, but man, if you get the first chapter of James memorized, I bet you'll move right to the next one. I mentioned in the service on Sunday, you know, Pastor Shaver messed us all up. He'd already memorized he and his wife memorized in 1 week, chapter 1. Oh, you know, so whole administrative staff, he's a character. We all got with the program, you know. Can't let him. I mean, but he just took it seriously and started memorizing. You know, and he's no spring chicken. His mind is active. He is constantly learning and growing. We can all do it. I'm just giving that. That wasn't my point. However, it would be good to do it. My point is, whatever the Lord tells you to do in a day, no day is mundane. No day is just another day. Every day should be an encounter with God, and God's going to encourage you to take steps forward. You know, you're either moving this way or you're moving that way in life. So it's a choice to trust. Now, she trusted the promises that were clearly given to the spies by the Lord and Jehovah God. And so she acted on the promises. And the more you walk by faith in obeying him, now get this, the more the promises will be real to you. If you don't do what God tells you to do, you're going to have a very hard time believing what he says to you on the positive side is really true. Did you get that? You see, if you're not believing God to take this step here and here, how are you going to believe God when he says, I'll do this? See, you're losing. You're losing that intimate understanding of the promises of what God will do if you're not listening to what God is leading you to do. And by the way, the promises are leading you to do. They are leading you to believe him for whatever he says. Now, if you're feeling lonely, feeling a little bit forsaken, boy, it's such a common thing that can happen. Well, Hebrews 13:5, he'll never leave us or forsake us. That's a promise. So if you are walking by faith, bang, that truth gets a hold of you, he's here. He hasn't left me, he has not forsaken me, and I choose to believe that. See, if you choose to do what God tells you to do, you can choose to say, that is true. And your whole thought pattern, literally within a second, can change. I'm telling you from experience, I mean, that is absolutely key. I go over many promises in the morning, and those things need to be alive and real. My God means what he says. And I don't need to think or worry about my feelings or my weaknesses or just all the different circumstances. God is going to work, and God will impress different promises on our hearts, and we need to choose by faith to believe them. My God shall supply how many of your needs? Okay, so you really don't have a need that he's not going to meet, right? You say, well, but my... No, see, there's where the trouble is. The very excuse not to obey him will be the type of excuse not to believe him when it comes to promise. There's two or three things I've said today that are very basic but extremely important. And so the more you are walking by faith, the more the promises just explode. My grace is sufficient for you. Love that. From 2 Corinthians 12:9. It's sufficient. It is sufficient. God's enabling power is sufficient for any situation that you're facing. And what an encouragement. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. And you begin to rise up. If you just allow darkness to come in, you can start to sag. Everything just gets very difficult. But if you believe God to get encouraged in your heart, then all of a sudden there is that lift that is there, and now you've got energy. You know, a lot of not having energy, sure, we have physical issues that cause that, but a lot of it is that we don't have internal energy. The grace of God does something to put a spark in us to give us that strength to be able to accomplish all that we have accomplished. So just think of Rahab, her place of residence before she was... came to know the Lord was cursed Jericho. Her place of residence after she believed God was Israel. Her occupation before she trusted God was a prostitute. She was a wife and mother after. And so her destiny before was eternal destruction. Her destiny was after she trusted the Lord was salvation and being the mother of the Messiah. Whoa. That's what God does. Do you think it's important to believe God? I mean, we're here today because we believe God, right? We're different people. Don't get stuck. Keep moving forward. All right, I've got to get to the auditorium here by 10 to judge some things. But anyway, trust that will be encouraging to you. I want you to be thinking all day long, believe God, believe God. I got to get out of the box, believe God. I'd much rather have a life determined by His power than my ability. It's a total different perspective.